B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Felger and Maz, we are here at Banners at the Garden. Again, Banners Kitchen and Tap. Is that what it is, Maz? I forgot to...
Yeah.
Kitchen and Tap. Banners Kitchen and Tap. And we said it to open the show. If you haven't gotten down here, this is the new part of the new development in front of the Garden on Causeway Street. In case you haven't seen it yet, they've redone the whole front, given it a front door, as they like to say, and developed it with some restaurants and even a Star Market below us and like a concert,
Starbucks
concert venue, the whole thing. Like you wouldn't recognize it if you haven't been here yet. But this is, I think, a centerpiece of it. It's, for lack of a better term, a sports bar, but I'm not. It doesn't really do it justice. But just keeping with that, if you're going to call it that, in terms of like the pre-game stadium sports bar, I think this is a next level place. Like this is like the best of its kind that I've ever seen. You wouldn't believe the room that and the space that they carved out for this thing. It's just a tremendous place. So I don't mean to, you know, like,
no, I like it a lot.
Up too badly, but I brought the wood and the girls here. It's like, it's that kind of place.
Yeah, you know, high ceilings, too. I'm a big fan of the high ceiling.
I also brought the wood and the girls to the fours, like, so they're going to have to do that, too. But this is a next-level place.
Well, everything has its place, right? It depends on your mood at the time. But this is a sweet spot. No two ways about it.
So Banners is hosting us. We'll be doing some broadcasts here throughout the course of the year. I just want to give you real quick. Banners is doing a New Year's Eve party, if you're interested in coming out here for New Year's Eve. It's a $75 ticket, but it includes the ball drop. The Banners, they have this TV screen. That's the largest indoor TV screen in North America, I think. I think that's what it is, like outside of like stadium scoreboards and whatnot.
It's huge.
It's a massive, massive thing. So they're going to do the ball drop on that screen. All-you-can-eat buffet stations, live DJ, rare beer and bourbon offerings, and much more. That's New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day. A no-regrets New Year's Day brunch with some more bells and whistles, live DJ, et cetera, et cetera. So for more information and to book it, you can visit BannersKitchenAndTap.com.
Bloody Marys, New Year's Day.
Okay, so we're talking about sort of the end of the Brady era here. We're staring down the barrel of Brady's final chapter in New England. That's what I think we're doing here. That's what I think this is. These last couple weeks into the playoffs, it's it. It's Brady's swan song. So do you agree with that, by the way? Do you believe this is a swan song? And if it is the final chapter, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about how this final chapter is playing out? So that's what we're doing today. Maz asked me before, what was my favorite Brady game? I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do this.
Yeah, no question.
What was my favorite Brady game? Did you have an answer first?
I do. Look, and I have, you know, to me, three stick out. Okay, three stick out. But the one at the top of my list was the Seattle Super Bowl. I just think that was quintessential Brady in the fourth quarter, team down, and legit opponent. Reigning world champions, or maybe they were, you know,
yeah, they were.
Okay. I think the world of that Seattle team at that time, I thought they were dynamite. They had a winning quarterback. They had a tremendous defense. That was a tough pull, that situation, and Brady rallied them. So I go there. I'll tell you the other two later.
Oh, that's my Mona Lisa for him. I mean, I look at that 13 of 15, buck 24, two touchdowns, down 10 against one of the great defenses of the last 25 years. That fourth quarter performance by him is the best. The best. And the same year that people thought he was done, you know, a few weeks into the season.
Give me your other two, Maz.
So the other two that stick out to me are more sentimental value. I wouldn't call them pure, you know, numbers games or anything of the like. A lot of people would pick Atlanta. I wouldn't pick Atlanta, the Atlanta Super Bowl. I like the snow game. I thought the snow game was a good Brady moment. Again, sort of a rally, you know, and Brady with the touchdown and the spike in the end zone. And the imagery of it to me was, and it was, again, it was sort of the one that launched Brady, right? That whole postseason and then the first Super Bowl.
So those are the games that I gravitate towards.
Yeah, the last drive in the first Super Bowl against the Rams is on there. And another one that I'll always hold near and dear, even though he wasn't that great in the game, I think he had more picks than touchdowns. The 06 win over the Chargers in the divisional round. He throws a 49-yard strike to Rashay Caldwell down the right sideline that set up the game-winning field goal.
He wasn't good in that game.
He wasn't, but that play and the games that I always think of are like, in the Atlanta, the second half, the overtime, like, give me the games where he rips the opponent's heart out and shows it to him after he's hadn't been that good, because he wasn't that good to start against Seattle. You know, that bad pick over the middle, I think it was Wagner, right? Yeah, like, that's what I was like, oh, Jesus, they're going to end up losing this game, too.
He had two of them in that game, yeah. If I remember right.
Right, was in the end zone,
too. Jerome Lane was the other one, broke his leg, remember, later?
Sure.
So I just think the fourth quarter of that game, though, man, that was a legit opponent.
Yeah, I gravitate to the games that were in the first half of the dynasty when he was establishing who he is and who he would become. So those are the games. Like, even going all the way back to 0-1, that win against San Diego at home where he brought him back and they won in overtime, if you remember that game. Couple really big balls. That was the one Terry Glenn game in 2001. I remember that. Remember when you went to Indianapolis and you score like all these trick play touchdowns, but you put up like 40 points on the board, and it was like, whoa, this guy can actually play. And so it was those sort of moments. You get into 03 and 04, like the Indianapolis game that we remember for the goal line stand with Willie McGinnis and all of that, but that was 34 to 31 or something.
Something like that.
Brady lit it up. You know, like those the games where he established what he is are the ones that I remember and the ones that I sort of – once he became the greatest, it's like – I knew what I knew what he was by that point. But when he was proving to us who he was, those are the ones I remember.
That snow game to me too, man. I love that one. That was a great, that was a fun game.
So I thought we would be doing this all year, you know, or more of it anyway. And we haven't. Instead, the year has been spent, you know, why is he so pissed off? Why did he say that? Why is he snapping at the media? What did Bill mean when he said that? What did Brady mean when he said that? You know, why is he throwing his teammates under the bus? Why is he chucking his helmet on the sideline? And it's like, instead of us sort of reveling the whole year and reminiscing and having just that sort of send-off, it's really been more about the drama and the little backbiting and back and forth. And it's too bad. It's not the worst thing in the world because I've seen it blow up much worse for other players and other teams. But that's what strikes me. His swan song has been more marked by that than sort of reminiscing about the big picture.
I mean, again, I think, you know,
today, 2 minutes and 15 seconds at the podium, and then he's out. Like,
he took five questions, gave five short answers, and at the end of the fifth one said, thanks, guys, and left.
And it's been like that all year, and I think this year's sort of marked by me watching a guy that hasn't really enjoyed himself.
Yeah, it's worked to him. For the first time in 20 years, I think he shows up, it's like, ugh. It's like anyone else that goes to a job that they're either burnt out on or they don't like, and that's just how he's kept it carrying himself. And I also think that the injury thing, like this elbow thing, do you see any clips of him today? You know,
no.
Throwing balls, working, trying to work the arm out, trying
really?
To work the arm out. And Mike Giardi of NBC Sport of NFL Network said, yeah, just this is what I was talking about when I was watching him ahead of the game against Cincinnati. And he just give it like 40 more times. This is what he was doing. I think he's frustrated, you know, that his body's betraying him, like with this injury.
Yes, so you know, add that to the list. Body's banged up. Numbers suck. He hasn't sucked as bad as the numbers, but just in case, you know, people want to get sensitive about that. But the numbers suck. He's banged up. Not happy half the time. They win, and he goes to the podium and is all pissy, which is, I think, a horrible look, you know, and he's done that a couple times. The little subtle things between him and the team or him and Belichick or, you know, go ask Mr. Kraft. You know, like, there's just little subtle things. That's marked the final year. You asked me what was your favorite game. What's your least favorite Brady game?
Ooh.
Let's do that one right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
That, and they won it. The AFC Championship game where they beat the Ravens in 2011.
That one sticks out. He was garbage in that
game. And he even
game.
Admitted it after. He was awful in that game. Awful.
I need to think about that one for a second. I mean, which is it? So, I don't know. I didn't love the Philly Super Bowl. But it wasn't his fault.
He threw for a million yards.
You know, but
his quarterback rating was still like in the 80s, I think.
So, like, you know.
Yeah, and he fumbled to end the game. He fumbled with the ball 2 minutes to go in the game with a chance to win it. He fumbled. It's a terrible game for Brady.
So, I don't know. I just, something about that game I didn't love. And for all of them, really. You know, obviously Bill's the focal point of that game. But 505 yards and whatever it was and, you know, and you don't win. That's like the anti-Tom Brady, right?
No, that's on the defense. He didn't play in the game. They lose by 30.
No. I know that. I'm not pinning the loss on him, Murray. I'm just saying that the game, to me, represents everything he wasn't. is he put up all these great numbers, but they lost. Yeah. Is that how you remember Brady? Like you just said a second ago, San Diego game out at San Diego. He played like garbage that game.
Well, what's your least favorite loss? Take Brady out of it. What's your least favorite loss of this era? Was it the Jets playoff loss?
Oh, that's up there.
It's a bad one.
No,
the Giants loss in 07?
Super Bowl 42. Yeah, that first Giants loss.
He wasn't good in that one, but we give him, you know, his ankle was bad and the line sucked.
He was bad.
The Eagles one is up there.
Bad in that Jets game.
We sort of give him a break on the Giants Super Bowl, but he wasn't great in that game.
The second one, too. He wasn't that great. The first half, he takes the safety.
He was money after that, though, for a while. Didn't he complete, like, 16 passes in a row or whatever, 13, 14, whatever it was?
Oh, in Denver 05. I hate that game, too.
So the Champ Bailey interception,
game, the Champ Bailey game.
Few and far between, though. I mean, it's much harder to come up with the good ones. I mean, to narrow the good ones down, I mean.
You know? Jets game here in 2010 is a good one. I'll tell you, because just quickly, he hadn't thrown a pick in how long. And then, like, he threw a bad pass early in the game.
David
Harris,
I think.
Right, it was a good defensive play, but it still wasn't a good throw. And it's like, well, here we go. Like, so that one, that's a good one.
Okay, are we staring down the barrel of the final chapter of Tom Brady in New England? How's that chapter playing out? How do you feel about it? All of that with your calls after I give away something for free, as I promised. Here it is. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $50 Dunkin' gift card to get Holiday in and treat their friends and coworkers to Dunkin' $2 medium lattes, cappuccinos, and Americanos from 2 to 6 with holiday flavors like gingerbread s'mores, peppermint mocha, and winter white chocolate. Tis the season to be sipping at Dunkin'. The holidays run on Dunkin'. This excludes signature lattes. Price and participation may vary. It is a limited time offer. To your phones after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the entrance to the garden at Banner's Kitchen and Tap, Felger and Maz are live for Bruins game day on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the Sports Hub app.
It's 20 degrees, it's mid to late December, there's division title on the line for you at this stage. I mean, how much do you still relish this situation?
Yeah, it's important. It's, I think everybody puts, a lot into it, and it's for moments like this. So everyone, you work out all off season, you train, you to be a part of these games. And it's a big game. It's against a very good team. So this is what it's all about. That's why we're here, playing games like this. So thank you guys. Have a great day.
That was Brady today. In and out. In and out. 2 minutes at the podium. Doesn't feel like he's exactly savoring it and soaking it in, does he? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, it's been a tractor pull for him this year, though, right? I mean, you got to give him that.
That's what I mean. That's exactly right. All right, back to your phones. As promised, Greg is in Foxborough on line 4 and frozen up. Jimmy, would you help me pot him up? Greg in Foxborough, you're up next with Felger and Maz from Banners. Hi, Greg.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm just asking, with a Bills victory, do we gain anything out of this? Like, opposed to beating the Chiefs or the Ravens or... Texans.
Yeah,
do you gain anything from this?
Sure, Greg. Yes,
I think so.
What do you get there, Murray?
They haven't beaten a team with a current winning record since September. This would be the first real team they've beat since the Bills the first time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, well, you don't count Philly and Dallas, right? They're mediocre teams.
Okay.
The NFC East is, garbage.
Yeah.
So you throw those out. In that five-game stretch, those are the only ones they won, right? They lost to Baltimore. They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Houston.
Crazy.
All the AFC.
So, I mean, yeah, they gain momentum. They gain, I don't know if... So, like Greg Bedardi said, everything was better on offense last week except for the quarterback. So if the offense continues to make strides and Brady plays better and they gain a little momentum, So, I mean, like, there's all that thing. And then there's the number two seed. You kind of you sew up the number two seed, which is huge. You get a bye.
Gigantic.
So, like, practically speaking, that's a huge advantage.
I mean, that's why I think I keep saying this over and over again, because people accuse us of focusing just on the negative part of it, which isn't necessarily wrong.
No, it's largely
but,
true.
Yeah, but I would say that the spin in this game, the gains for them in this game are potentially huge. If their offense could play well and Kansas City loses, I think the whole perspective is different come Monday. I just think they're sort of teetering right on that edge where we don't know which one they're going to be yet.
Jeff in the car is on line one. Jimmy, if you could pot him up for me again. And I'm frozen here, Josh. If you could unfreeze me. Jeff in the car. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Jeff. You're up.
This is Mike in the truck.
Okay, Mike in the truck. You're up.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys take anything away from those little post-game videos that the Patriots post after each win, because earlier in the season, Brady was nowhere to be found in those videos. This past one they posted, it shows him hugging Kraft and shaking Belichick's hand and smiling during the Slater speech. So I don't know if they're just showing him to try and make it seem like things are better around there, or what do you guys think?
Okay, thanks for the car, Mike. I do think there is little purposes there. You know, as much as we've heard recently that Bill has nothing to do with those Kraft Sports production videos, it's bullcrap. Like, I think there's always sort of a little method behind what Bill shows, what they show, when they show it. So I read into all that crap. And the videos where Brady wasn't involved, that was telling at the time, I thought. So are they making up for it now? I don't know. I haven't seen the most recent ones. But I think there's always little hidden messages and hidden little agendas in those videos.
Yeah, and so you've been yammering all week about, like, he's not getting the send-off, the proper send-off.
Right.
I mean, they put one up as he was leaving the field, and those, I mean, there was a ton of Patriots fans in Cincinnati chanting his name, and it's the camera shot from behind him as you see him walking off Paul Brown Stadium, waving all the Patriots fans, showing some love, signing some stuff.
Okay, Murray, I need more than a freaking clip on YouTube.
But you don't think that that's a little bit telling there? The Patriots putting that out on their own official account.
So you tell me what it says to you.
Well, this is part of the send-off here. See, we're doing all the right things in terms of, you know, the bells and whistles and accoutrement for Brady and what is likely going to be his last season.
So that video you're showing there, is that a send-off kind of video?
Of course it's a send-off type of video. You know that it is. Look at that.
It is?
Yeah.
They don't usually do that because I don't follow this crap. I don't watch it.
This is the kind of crap you want currently, apparently.
It is. It is the kind of crap I want. So you're saying this isn't every game that they follow him off the field like this?
No.
Okay, good. Fine.
I mean, there was titled an early Christmas present from at Tom Brady where he's signing cleats, he's signing jerseys. But, I mean, that view of him from behind with the Brady 12 in the road uniform, that's a cool shot. That's what you're looking for.
Okay.
And now you see it and you're like, puh. I need it here.
Seems to me Murray had that laptop open before on that video.
No question about it.
If you know what
last
I'm saying.
Last night at about 2 a.m.
I went and searched for it as the call was on.
So I'll tell you what I do put stock in, because your initial question, I think, said, you know, does Bill have a say in those videos? Remember the Giants game? Bill gave him the game ball. And, like, Brady wasn't great that night. I mean, not statistically anyway.
Yeah.
But it was a crappy night. He had to grind through it. They got the win. I feel like Bill made a point that night to single out Tom, right? So he definitely does that. Look, with Bill, everything is plotted. Everything. There's a reason behind everything.
Chico in Berkshire County. I want to talk to him, Jimmy. Line three, please, if you could. Chico in Berkshire. Go ahead. Chico!
We're having a call screener issue, Mike.
All right, so wait, the phones have exploded. Chico, his comment line said, fan reaction if he plays elsewhere. That would be, so that's part of the whole thing I would love to see. When he comes back as a member of the Miami Dolphins, standing ovation, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Even though we boo Vinatieri.
Okay, so different.
Is anyone going to boo?
There might be a couple. And I say a couple.
Do you think people are going to be pissed if he goes and plays with the Dolphins?
There will be a couple who are pissed. Because there will be, and this gets back to how they've all sort of postured and positioned themselves so that no one takes the blame. The Kraft say, well, hey, Tom Brady asked for the clause to be put in his contract that allowed him to become a free agent effectively. He wanted to leave. Belichick says, again, talk to the Krafts. They're the ones that had that set up. Brady will say they pushed me out the door.
Who are the fans going to blame?
The fans will blame Bill.
I'll blame Bill.
But there will be some, and I'm not telling you it's a big percentage, less than 5%, okay, less than 2%. Some will blame Brady.
Because you know.
Because they're going to say he had the choice.
Yes, but
98% of the fans.
And the team is going to say.
Yeah.
The team is going to say, we wanted him.
Of course.
We made him an offer, and he chose to go elsewhere. So they're going to try and put it on his lap.
No question.
And some fans are going to buy that. They're going to lap it up. Yeah, Brady turned us down.
Will you blame anybody?
No. I think it's time for them all to move on. I do. If anything, I blame Brady now for, I keep going back, not fully investing in the team and his teammates in the offseason and that sort of thing. That's been a big complaint of mine. Otherwise, I think Bill's sort of right to try and move on to the next thing. It's not smart to build around 42-year-old quarterbacks. It's just not smart. So I'm fine with Bill doing it that way. I'm fine with the Crafts not paying them. It's not smart to pay 42-year-old quarterbacks at the top of the market. I don't blame them. And if Brady wants that somewhere else, I don't blame him for going to get it. I don't blame anyone. I only blame Brady now for not investing like he once did. I think that's bad for him.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I always wondered. There was a time when I wondered if Kraft regretted getting in the way on Garoppolo. I wondered. But given how it's turned out,
he was right.
Yeah, if I were him, I wouldn't second-guess myself on that one. But I don't know. Every once in a while, you wonder. Like, if they had Garoppolo right now and they were 2 years into that, Murray would hate it.
Murray?
Yeah,
hate it. He would hate it. He would hate it with a passion. Yeah. He hates Garoppolo.
What if they were winning?
Right. See, that's sort of my point. What if you knew you were going to have Garoppolo for the 10 years? We wouldn't have Stidham for any of this. And we'd say, okay, fine. They didn't win, you know, if you knew everything.
I'm just saying.
Fine, they didn't win a couple over the last 2 years, but
fans will boo players if they go elsewhere. If they turn you down and go elsewhere,
yeah,
Ray Allen, et cetera, et cetera.
Different.
It's a weird, it's a different comp. Like you mentioned, Vinatieri, he was still in his prime, and he went to the enemy. He went to the Colts and to help Peyton Manning. This is Brady at the end. It'll be different.
Okay, I look forward to it. I hope it happens. I really do.
There will be a small percentage that blame him, though. And again, 2%, 1%, 3%, call it whatever you want. Some fans will blame it on, put it on him because he had the choice.
Here comes Murray's update. We're back with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Felger and Maz from Banner's will continue with your phone calls. If they're up yet, Jimmy, are they up or are we still resetting there?
We should be okay. We'll see if the call screener you have matches what we have here.
Okay. How about Gus in Connecticut? Gus in Connecticut on line five. Is that match up, Jimmy? Put him up if it is.
It does.
Hi, Gus. You're on the air. What do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Felger? I wanted your guys' thought on Mohamed Sanu being like an outdoor receiver, if they thought about that before they picked him up. Because he played a lot of dome games that I remember.
So, Gus, we'll let you go.
He used to be on the Bengals.
He also played in Cincinnati,
exactly.
Right?
And he went to Rutgers. And
yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a foo-foo dome player.
No, I don't think he is either. And look, maybe there's another variable there if they could wrap this thing up this week. Sanu's another guy that could probably benefit from the time off, as is Edelman. So you'd get really 3 weeks between games is what it comes down to. That is huge. If they could ever, you know, get a break here and Kansas City loses and they wrap up the number two seed and you weigh all of that out and you say, to get 3 weeks off effectively, oh, that would be like game changer.
Jimmy Millis in Medford on line five, is that there?
No.
Okay. Give me one.
How about Nate in the car, I think, on line three?
Nate in the car on line three. Hi, you're up with Felger and Maz.
Yeah, so yesterday you guys were talking about how they had some interest in developing Stidham. And I guess I'm curious. I think I heard you also say just a little bit ago that if they won this weekend that they would have, they would lock up the number two seed and it gets them to bye. So I'm curious, would they actually start Stidham to give Brady a rest and help heal up his injuries on the final game of the season if that were the case?
Okay, we'll drop you and let you go. You know, the starts are important to these quarterbacks. So if Brady wanted to start, they should absolutely start him. But then get him the hell out of there. Treat it like that, the Garoppolo Bills game, whatever that was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, if it's locked up, if you need the game, you got to play it out. But if you don't need the game,
if it's moot, play him a series.
Absolutely.
So I think in that game, believe it or not, I think it was in 2014, right? That was 5 years ago. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago. But I think Brady played the first half in that game. I'd play him less. I'm with you, Murray. One series.
Well, just to say you got the start, and that's it.
Never mind Edelman. Never mind Sanu. All these guys.
Yeah, which, again, was why you wouldn't even have Brady. If you want Brady wanted the start, bare minimum. Bare minimum, and then get him out of there. I'd get Brady out, too.
Pick another one, Jimmy. Keep going.
Let's go to line one. I think it's Mark in Providence.
Hi, Mark in Providence. You're up next to Felger Maz. What do you got?
Mark.
You guys are out of your mind if you think he's retiring this year. This guy is not going anywhere. He, and as far as his numbers this year, I blame it. I put like 10% on him. This is the worst offensive line that I've seen him have to play behind in his entire career. They're terrible. It's awful, and he's not retiring.
And you think he's going to stay? And you think he's going to stay here? Okay, he left. So, I mean,
see, I think there's a segment of the fan base that feels this.
Oh no, that's fine. I mean, I think that's entirely possible. We're all just guessing. I'm just firing away from what I think. You know, if I had to grade it out 34% to 33% to 33%, I'd say he's retiring. But I think all three are options. You know, he could easily come back and keep playing. He could easily go play somewhere else. He could easily retire and call today. I think the retirement's the most likely, but it's all close and it's all guesswork. So all of us are just guessing. But if he does come back, I would want things to change, though. Like, I wouldn't want to go through another year like this. What are you gaining from this? He's not putting you over the top, necessarily. It's not like he's made a huge difference. And it's not his fault, but it's just, it is what it is. And meanwhile, you're not developing players around him. Everybody spends more time on what he said and why he's saying it and the way he's carrying himself and the back and forth and we are the... And I don't know. It just feels a little joyless, a little, I don't know, and not fully functional, by the way, if I run the team because they're not developing players at the receiver position, and I think the way, you know, Brady's going is sort of playing into that.
Okay, so you have said that if you were to wager at this stage that you would bet on Brady retiring.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's second most likely outcome?
Him staying and playing here.
Okay, so like, but think about what you just said. Things would have to change.
And I would want them to change.
Okay, so he's miserable. I think, the more I think about it, with some of the stuff that Perillo said earlier in the year, that Gasper said earlier in the year.
I mean, those guys have staying here and playing as third.
Okay, and I think
that makes
sense to me. Because look at how unhappy he looks this year. So why would you do what if you were him? Why would you subject yourself to this again?
And what's really going to change next year?
Right. So this is my point. Most importantly, I would even say, what's going to change above him? Forget about the roster around him. What about above him? Is the owner all of a sudden going to give him a 2 or 3 year deal?
Nope.
Is Bill all of a sudden going to completely go, you know, reverse field and approach it from a different standpoint? Those guys are who they are. Like I, the more I think about it, I think coming back here is door number three. I do. I think he's unhappy now, relatively. And when I say unhappy, you know what I mean.
And oh, by the way, if he does stay, he's got to find a new place to live, and his trainer has to sort of reset a place to live. Like, he's pulled up stakes.
Correct.
You know, he's bad. The bags are packed.
So I want to rephrase this, because when I say he's unhappy, you know...
Well, they haven't sold the house yet, I guess. So, but I mean, you know what I mean.
I want to use a different term.
No.
He's burned out here. Burned out.
By the current conditions.
Yes, burned out by Bill, burned out by the offense, you know, or the line, all of it. He's just, I'm done carrying this much weight. Like, they've put a lot on him over the years, and I think it's, you know, this, to me, is all part of the whole package that Brady sort of said, look, you put all this on my shoulders, and all I asked was for an extension. I asked for a commitment.
Maz, I agree with that 100%. And I've said that a million times as well. Why would he come back? Because nothing's going to change. Appreciably. It's all going to be roughly the same. Because that's what he does. Because at the last, he caves. And this is something that I just, you know. I could totally see him saying, now, there's no way I come back under these conditions. There's no way I do that. And then Robert puts a piece of crap in front of me. He says, okay, I'll do it. Because he's always done it. So that's part of my projection, is that he caves.
Yeah, except this time Super G is going to be chirping an awful lot louder. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and as you get older, too, you know, you don't want to live with regrets, right? So, or you want to try to minimize your regrets. And I feel like maybe he's got to a point, like, he doesn't want to feel like, oh, I wish I coulda, shoulda, maybe did this somewhere else before I wrapped up.
Okay, the show is about Brady Swanson. Your thoughts right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at The Garden on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Stephon Gilmore said the other day this is like a playoff game, and I'm just curious, from what you've seen from the players and your staff throughout the organization, are you sensing that urgency of a playoff game?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. That's what we're here for. Yep, you work all year to put yourself in a position of, you know, playing a game like this where you can win the division. That's, you know, couldn't say that in week four or week six or week eight, whatever it was. Well, we're saying that now, so now's the time for us to play and coach our best football. That's what we're all here for.
It's Bill on the Bills coming in this weekend. You give the Bills a real chance. Have you decided yet, Maz? Have you taken the fence out of your ass yet?
Nope, fence is still there. I'll decide on Saturday, right before kickoff, probably.
Once you've gathered all the information.
Once I've gathered all the information, I'd like to know who the inactives are.
Well, that's
the
90 minutes before.
Yep, exactly.
You're not on the air on Saturday, though, so correct. You need to make a pick.
Well, maybe I'll put it on Twitter or something. Murray, just for you. Like, you know, we'll figure something out. I told you, from a gambling standpoint, I like Buffalo. I'll take the 6.5. Yeah, I was looking this over earlier on, and it'd be hard to pick against the Patriots at home in a meaningful game with this coach and this quarterback, no matter what they are now. Okay,
I just lost to the Chiefs. That was meaningful.
Okay, but the Chiefs are might have the best young quarterback in football, and so Buffalo still has to prove it. But I do think their defense is legit. And I told you earlier, I was looking at Buffalo's game by game. They've really been in every game they've played. Sometimes to a fault. I mean, they played Cleveland and lost, but it was 1916, so it was a rock fight. And the only game that they got smoked was Philly in Buffalo. They lost 31-13. They got their asses kicked. And I think they ran into a desperate Philly team at that time. If I remember right, Philly was coming off a loss to Dallas or someone early in the year where they really looked horrid and then they rebounded. So, but other than that, Buffalo, every game the Bills have played in has been winnable. The Ravens went up there a couple of weeks ago and only won by a touchdown.
So what does that mean?
I think Buffalo's legit. Now, again, the quarterback I have zero faith in. And what you said earlier about the turnovers, I don't have a lot of faith that Josh Allen can protect the football in this game. Okay? And the Patriots defense obviously is good at turning the ball over, particularly against bad quarterbacks and bad offenses. And I think the Bills generally qualified. But I also think the Patriots got really 9 legitimate points up there in Buffalo. The other 7 came on a block punt that Matt Slater took in for a touchdown. So, you know, I could easily see. I think this game's a 3-point game, you know, at most,
Murray,
which is why I take the points.
How does it play out, Murray?
Oh, you want me to, like, break down a game
Yes!
before it's even happened?
Yeah.
No, the offense stinks. Brady's elbow's shot, and he gets picked off a couple of times. One for a pick six because Buffalo's got a better defense, or it's sack, fumble, turnover. The Bills are going to win the turnover battle. They have a better defense.
The quarterback's also suspect, kind of like how Brady is. But better defense wins. Buffalo wins the game, like 17-10.
So it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. The Bills won't be able to take care of the football. They'll come here and crap themselves. And that's, I say that in the true sense of the word, because, like, you know, offense, defense up and down the field, maybe they are better. Or the equal, right? Maybe that'll be equal. We've seen a lot of games like that. Well, up and down the field, the games have been equal. They really have been. And maybe the Bills can do that. Maybe. But there'll be a special teams play or a key turnover or a key call or bounce of the ball or something, and it'll go the Patriots' way. But more really the Bills' turnover thing. They won't be able to take care of the ball.
So I do have faith in, and this is a, you know, this is a big thing with Brady. I have faith in his ability to protect the football. So no matter how bad they are, or let me rephrase, how unproductive they are offensively, I generally believe that they won't hurt themselves by turning it over, particularly the quarterback. Now, that said, he threw an interception in the end zone in Buffalo earlier in the year.
He did.
Right? That was the Micah Hyde pick.
Yes, sir.
So it's not beyond him to get confused or tricked by a good defense. I think it's you know, but if we were to say lay the odds, which quarterback's more likely to make a big mistake?
Thank you.
Not even close. Not even close. I mean, Josh Allen could throw five picks in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised. So he could pull an Andy Dalton, which is what happened last week. I mean, that game would have been a game if Dalton didn't suck lemons. He blew in that game. He was awful.
But that's the deal. That's part of the game.
Sure.
So, like I said, like everything, O-line, D-line, up and down the field, offense, defense, maybe it's equal. It's equal up and down the field. But mistakes, quarterback play, you know, in terms of limiting mistakes, all that stuff comes into factor. Special teams, et cetera, et cetera. Pats are going to win this game just like they've won all those in just that fashion this year.
I mean, they have had a lot of ugly wins. Philly 17-10, Dallas 13-9, Buffalo 16-10. I mean, it has really been one big pile of dog crap after the next. It's like walking down a snow-covered street.
Yeah, they barely beat Dallas, needed some help from the refs. Meanwhile, Buffalo goes to Dallas Thanksgiving Day and absolutely waxes them. So, yeah, I'm going Buffalo.
Yep. I mean, you will admit that all the data, like if we were to say, you got to decide right now, is it happening or is it not? The answer is no. Based on, they play crap teams.
Meaning championship.
Correct.
Yeah.
They play crap teams and squeak them out. And they played three good quarterbacks in the AFC and lost all three. They lost to Deshaun Watson. They lost to Mahomes. And they lost to Lamar Jackson. So the evidence, if we're going purely on analysis, right? No emotion, no pass, no reputation, no nothing. Just what they've done on the field this year, it's hard to pick them against a good team. Now, do the Bills qualify?
Nope.
Okay, so, you know, the Bills are kind of in between there because they don't have the quarterback. So, but any team that's good and has a quarterback, it feels like the Patriots are going to lose to.
So, you know, maybe I'm just totally wrong about the team, but I've been, you know, I've been on the high side of them, if you will, all season long. I did think 19-0 was on the table for a large part of the season. I did. Because I just have so little faith in the field, and now even when some of the field has caught up to them and they've lost these games, I'm still on that, you know, in that position where the Buffalo freaking Bills are not coming here in a game that matters into Foxborough in Week 16 and winning. Like I don't think the Bills are at that level yet. I just can't give them that. I can't. Sorry, I can't. And so I guess I'll just be wrong about it the whole year. But I haven't changed my mind yet. If the Pats lose on Saturday, then I'll change my mind. That's it. If the Pats lose,
you'll sign my declaration of doneness?
Maz, Murray, I will sign whatever you put in front of me.
Okay.
Yep, done. Absolutely done.
I mean, the Bills, again, I know we touched on this earlier in the week. I can't get enough of this stat. The Bills have beaten them in two meaningful games in 19 years. Two. And one of them was a season opener when Bill cut Lawyer Malloy 4 days before, or whatever it was, 5 days before. Like, okay, so you almost want to throw that one out the window.
I'll put an asterisk on that one, yeah.
Buffalo never beats the Patriots.
But if we see this sea change with Brady, and it feels like this is it, you know, why can't you recognize what feels like a bit of a sea change with some of these teams in the AFC?
You
like
can.
Buffalo. And Baltimore. Well, I know you can. I don't know about this
no,
one
so,
over
right,
here.
No, no, right? It's so at least I'll be wrong, but consistently wrong across the board.
That's fair. You're dug in. I can respect dug being in. Dug in. Yeah.
See, but this is why I place such great meaning on this game. Because given what they've been and who they are, and I'm talking about Bill and Tom in particular, right? Those two. To lose this game at home to Buffalo.
That's it.
Ooh.
And that's, maybe I put too much weight on the Houston loss, but that was the real tipping point for me. Not even losing the following week to Kansas City. Houston?
That was a
big notorious loser franchise that you owned. Bill O'Brien was, what, 0-6 against Belichick and the Patriots since he was the head coach there? Just a, ugh. And they went there, and that final score is an indicative of
they
that game.
Spanked.
They got killed in that game.
They did. They got spanked. And then who did they lose to the next week? The
Kansas
Texans?
City.
No, the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Miami?
Denver. Whoever, Denver.
Oh, God. Like, tell me that didn't tell you everything you needed to know. Wow. You lost to Houston down there. You get your ass kicked, and then they puked on themselves? Like, seriously. Oh, the Houston one was the one that hurt. Absolutely.
Okay, so we're hitting on that. Buffalo this week, the meaning of the game. And again, Tom Brady's final chapter. Are we now staring down the barrel of the beginning of the end of Tom Brady in New England, which is, to me, still a massive thing? And if this is the first of all, do you believe it's the final chapter? And if you do, how do you feel how it's playing out? To your calls on all of that, providing our calls work and our screen works, after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.